This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 1 o'clock in the...
I just tickle your liver, man.
Oh my God, that just happened. 1 o'clock in the greatest in the world.
The world will never know.
What the hell just happened there? Bart Scott Allen. Alright, let me explain. Bart had to go.
So
Bart had to go running. I don't know. What did you have to do?
You know what? I don't know.
You had to get some mayonnaise or something like that.
I had to get some mayo. I had to get some mayo. So
he steps away and he's yelling from like the kitchen or something like that. Like, how much time we have? I'm like, man, the theme song's playing. I'll be right there. And then he's not there. I see nothing. There's no one on the screen. And then as I begin the intro, his face just pops up. With that stupid grin you make.
But that's I'm done. You know where
I can't even focus where
we perfected this method at, man. Listen, I've never seen a dude order an egg sandwich, get bacon, walk down the hallway and swallow their sandwich before the time the head coach comes in for the meeting. So athletes know like what 10 seconds really is. So when you hit me, I hit 30 plus button on the bacon because my daughter made me some because I've been out doing everything this morning. So she made me a BLT during our IG Live.
That's nice, yeah.
And I love her. But she gave my brother 3 pieces of bacon. Like, how the hell am I going to make a BLT and it's only 3 pieces of bacon? That don't even cover
LT. It's a lot of LT.
Exactly. And it's no LT, so it's basically a BT because it's basically B is just bacon and mayonnaise. So I was like, you know what? She always has this thing that she wants to make fresh bacon. She don't like the old Subway, get it from Costco's, the pre-made, put 30 seconds in the microwave bacon.
What is fresh bacon? Do you go out and get the pig? Do you slaughter the pig? Like, what do you mean fresh bacon?
Well, you know what I mean. Well, she don't like frozen bacon.
Oh, I see.
But she only gave me 3 pieces because she got this bacon maker. She's only 12, so she can't really use the stove all the time. Sometimes we let her do it, but she needs supervision. So she got the bacon maker. So she'll take those regular pieces of bacon, put it on the bacon maker, and whatever, man. So I just made. I needed like 5 more pieces of bacon to have a legitimate sandwich. If not, it was just toast with a piece of bacon on it. But now it's a real sandwich.
What Gracie made me?
Some pancakes.
You want some pancakes?
Oh,
you want
man.
Pancakes?
That's what I'm talking about, man. Shout out to the daughters of the world,
yes.
Man, because we know our sons ain't going to give a damn about us
nothing.
When we get older.
Done.
But daughters always make sure.
Take care.
Exactly. That's why I'm being extra nice to my daughter so that, you know, she don't put me in a nursing home when I get older.
Oh, you don't want that. But by the way, our 12-year-old girls, both of them are very tall.
Yeah, mine is 5'11".
Like we got a front court already developing here.
Let's do it.
Anyway, as I was saying, it's Bart and Han.
You good now?
800-919-3776 is the number to join the conversation. It's already an effing Friday. You could just tell. But you know what the good news about this Friday is? This is the last week without sports.
Yes.
This is it. We're done. After this, tomorrow you have Yankees-Mets scrimmage that we can watch and enjoy. It's a scrimmage, but you know what? Don't matter. It's sports.
Man, we've been watching interleague games. I've been excited about that. Watching Judge go opposite on Holder.
Yeah. So you've got right, exactly. So we've got that tomorrow, and then even better is we've got the NBA beginning their scrimmages, which I'm sure we'll be able to see, and that's on Wednesday, and then Thursday opening day for baseball and sports officially returns.
Do we tease who we got
Garrett
already?
Cole.
Because we've been prepping.
No.
Bro, we've been prepping for months.
Next week, we are swinging the sledgehammer next week. Just so everybody knows, if you thought, like, yesterday people were, like, tweeting at me, like, what got into you two? Haven't heard you guys like this. You guys are a little more, like, angry, a little more, because Bart and I are pissed. And we want the world to know, no more Mr. Nice Guy. Like, we're done with this now. It's
exactly
over.
Exactly. And we see, like, the beginning.
You push the wrong buttons with us.
Yeah. And that's up. Yeah, that's
so
right.
Next week, believe it, next week's going to be a heavy-hitting week as we get ready for sports. Just so everybody knows. So you stay with us. At Barton on social media, if you want to talk to us there, on Twitter, Instagram, and our IG Live.
We'll do it live!
12:30 every day.
You learn about life on our IG.
You do learn about a lot of things.
It ain't about just sports. You learn about life.
Bart's like the Mr. One-Up. You're Mr. One-Up because I'm just showing, like, I was talking about jerseys and jerseys I have, because I'm not a real jersey collector kind of guy, but I do have some that people have given me, some with my name on it, which is cool, and a couple of, like, ones where it's just, you know, there's a player that you just, you know, respect. And Bart, of course, one-ups me, because he's like, oh, yeah, I have some jerseys. And then he's like, and then I have this. And he brings me over to the Dennis Byrd T-shirt that he was wearing that the medical staff had to cut off of him when he had that terrible incident on the field that caused paralysis. And Dennis Byrd gave it to you after the Can't Wait game, because he spoke to the team before the game and it inspired the group. And he gave you that shirt as a thank you, and you saved that. You kept that forever, and obviously it means so much to you. But it's such a one-up thing for you to do. Because here I am feeling good about life. Like, hey, I got this jersey Porzingis gave me, and I got this jersey like Tyson Chandler, and you know, the Jets made me a jersey. And then you're like, oh, yeah, let me just show you this one. Just completely shut down my spot. Shut it down.
It was all done in love. I was the hateration in me. I was watching 50 Cent, so I just, you know, when you watch 50, sometimes you got to detox from 50. Because he makes you an instant hater. He makes you instant hate. But I'm back now.
Well,
I'm back. I'm okay.
Again, it's Effing Friday, and that's where we're going. And right now we're going to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And let's go back to a conversation that we've been having anyway on this topic. And now I got to ask you, because, you know, ESPN has done the rankings. Jeremy Fowler's done this NFL rankings all week. So the ESPN's talked to 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players. And they want... Now, first of all, before I even get into this, let me acknowledge the Washington football situation and what's going on there, because I'd be remiss if I didn't first bring that out right out of the gate. So let me pause and reset here. As the report came out, we knew this was coming out yesterday. It didn't come out until after the show. The Washington Post put out a report. 15 women who had worked for the organization alleging sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of Daniel Snyder, the owner of the team's inner circle. No allegations against Snyder, nor Bruce Allen, the former GM who was fired in December, who had spent a decade there. But others, though, in the pro personnel office, a radio play-by-play guy who resigned, and some others as well that are still in the organization. So what it does tell us is it's already been a bad franchise, and now it's a toxic environment that has seemed to feel like a trickle-down situation. Snyder put out a statement saying that the behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. The story has strengthened my commitment, Snyder says, to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Rivera earlier this year. Remember, they hired that law firm in Beth Wilkinson, and he said that she and the firm are empowered to do a full, unbiased investigation and to make any and all requisite recommendations. Upon completion of her work, we'll institute new policies and procedures and strengthen our human resources infrastructure to not only avoid these issues in the future, but most importantly, create a team culture that is respectful and inclusive of all. It's a statement. I get it. Yeah. Right? Like, you have to say something.
Yeah.
But Bart, as you see this come out, as an NFL player, as a former NFL player,
yes,
what is your reaction to the allegations and the response so far by Snyder?
Well, I'm kind of lukewarm on it. I want to see he made the proper statement. Now, let's see if he takes the proper actions, because it's about, you know, holding people accountable and ensuring that we don't ever have to have this conversation with his organization again, because you want to make sure that you ensure a safe healthy environment for all to thrive in. You don't want anybody. And I'm so happy that this Me Too movement is coming out, that women are being empowered, because as a father of a daughter, just like you, Allie, I want to ensure that my daughter don't ever have to deal with some of the Harvey Weinstein things or the Bill Cosby things, or, you know, the things that happened down in Dallas, and now what we've been hearing as reported here in Washington. I don't ever want my daughter to have to feel that way and feel like it's certain things that she has to accept so that she can make sure that she can have a job, and it still should be equal pay for equal work. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, white, black, blue, orange, green. And if we don't take a stand for this now, we'll be wishing we had when our kids are coming to us crying on our laps saying that, hey, dad, this is what happened to me and I was afraid to speak out because this is just the culture and this is what work is all about and life is about for a woman. So now let's see the action steps. Let's see if you get you up that human resources, you know, division. Let's see if you really empower them. Let's see if you can hold people accountable and not hold people accountable when it's convenient to get out of something and throw somebody under the bus. But can you hold people accountable when all things are well and somebody comes with you with a grievance? Is it swept under the rug, or is it taken right. seriously and handled swiftly?
That's the problem I think you have here, is the fact that it's you're holding people accountable now because you're being held accountable because of the report.
Right.
Other than that, what were you doing to stop it before that? Nothing. You know, that is the bigger issue. Now, again, he's not part of the allegations. So, you know, there's nothing the NFL, you know, is probably going to do when it comes to him other than look at what the NBA did with Mark Cuban. And that story, as you referenced, you said Dallas, and that's what you're talking about. This was back in 2018 when SI put out that story about a toxic culture going on inside the Mavericks organization. And Mark Cuban was called to the carpet by the NBA. They did an investigation as well. And he had to do a lot of stuff, a lot of facing the music. And he did. The very first thing he did, he spoke publicly. He made himself public and available for interviews. And he said those things like he put it on himself. What matters is it's my responsibility and I have to be accountable for it. You know, did he write a check? Of course he wrote it. He wrote a big check. He sent out $10 million to various women's foundations to support women's empowerment in business, but also in for leadership as well as sexual abuse and other areas. So he wrote the check, which for billionaires, you write a check. Yeah, that's what you expect. But you put yourself out there and you talk about it and you be accountable.
You don't
and you
hide.
Show that contrition. But the other thing he did that was very important was Cynthia Marshall is somebody that he hired as he was the first African-American. She was the first African-American CEO in the NBA. And not only an African-American, but obviously an African-American woman.
Wow.
Hired her. And within a year, the culture was completely turned around. And that's what she did. And that's what you have to do. So Dan Snyder, in changing the name of the franchise, under pressure, in hiring a guy like Ron Rivera, who also spoke out about this and said exactly what you said. He's got, I got a daughter working in this organization, so this isn't going to fly with me here. But it's you know, you never give you can't give credit to Dan Snyder for saying, okay, we hired somebody to look into it. We're going to do all the right things. But what you want to see is what you said. You got to speak up about it when it's uncomfortable. And that's about a lot. That's what, if 2020 is teaching us anything, it's teaching us that. That the days of being silence is compliance.
Yep.
Those days are over. You can't just pretend, well, it ain't happened to me, so I'm not going to say anything. Or the other thing, which is, you know what we expect in sports? We expect this in sports, right?
Nah.
Like, as an athlete, that probably bothers you, right? Like, athletes.
They paint us with a broad
brush.
Because,
by the way, players aren't the ones being implicated here.
Right.
This is people in the front office that are doing this stuff. And remember, this is the same organization that, what, 2 years ago, a couple of years ago? Also had the thing with the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Where you're paying for access to the cheerleaders. Like, are you so clearly it's an institutional problem here. He is the owner, so he's overseeing this.
So
and the
watch.
Only thing I would do if I'm Roger Goodell is I would make sure he understands, like, listen, this is strike two, man.
Yeah. It's
like,
still
this is not strike one. This is strike two for you.
It still may cost you a hefty fine, which with the NFL,
it's embarrassing the league.
Yeah, the NFL, right? It's conduct detrimental, so you take that. So you take that fine too, and you reinvest that, and that's what the NFL does. They'll give it to a charity, they'll give it to a woman empowerment group, and it needs to be something that's local so that they can feel it, hear it, and see it. It should be something local to the area, and you know you might have to take a draft pick. right? You might have to take a third round draft pick. You might have to
send a message to make sure there's others. Because, by the way, this is not exclusive to the Redskins, Washington.
Not at all.
I'm telling you, you know it better than I do.
It's not exclusive.
There are organizations
sports.
Where this, and not sports, and not even any in the society. It's right. not exclusive. They are, I mean, it's probably worse there than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But man, you know, that's that the message. Warning that's got to be out there. Make them the cautionary tale then. Make sure you're tougher on them. So anybody else, clean up your house now before it gets out about you.
Exactly.
800-919-3776 is the number. All right. So that's that
ain't
story.
No straight talk. That's some real talk.
Yeah. It is straight talk though. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart. Again, we'll get to the calls. But while that's going on and the NFL is going to have to deal with that, and obviously Washington's dealing with that right now, we keep things closer to home here on a story that we've been following all week, which is, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, the rankings for positions in the NFL. And there have been some that have been interesting. I mean, the obvious ones, like quarterback, we all looked at and we thought, okay, that makes sense. Running back, Saquon Barkley being number one, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And again, this is ESPN did a they polled more than 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to create the top 10 players at 11 positions on the field. And the voters give their best 10 to 15 players at a position, and they take all the results, put it together, and make a top 10 out of it. So safeties were released today. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that Jamal Adams is listed as number one, the top safety, the number one safety in the game today? And one NFC executive that they quote, anonymously of course, said he's the second best defensive player in football, putting him just behind Aaron Donald. And that's it. How do you feel about that?
Well, one, congratulations to Jamal. Very subjective list. I love me some Jamal. I love everything that he does. He's growing into a great player. He's plugging up the holes in his game. You can see the difference between year one and then the second year when he went against Gronk and he was better in man-to-man coverage. But whoever that executive is, it's the reason why we have organizations that suck. Because I don't know what he's smoking, and I don't know if he's in the protocol, but not all executives are created equally. And this guy is clearly somebody that doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Name me some other defensive players you would take ahead.
You just go right into the division. We best know. Listen, I've been a part of Revis Island. I know how important a lockdown corner is. All you have to do is go to Stephon Gilmore. I mean, this dude is 99 on Madden. This mm-hmm. dude was a lockdown corner on a top 10 defense. I mean, come on now. This guy is locked down. I mean, you can go with some other players. I mean, you can go with Chris Jones. I mean, it's so many other players you can go with. You know, Myles Garrett. You know, the trajectory he was on last year. Listen, no slight to Jamal at all. But I don't even think Jamal is the top two safety in the conference in the AFC. I mean, I'm looking at – and listen, he's great at what he does.
Minkah
Fitzpatrick and Derwin James. And Derwin James was hurt last year, but mm-hmm. I think he offers more versatility. It's up to Jamal to continue to prove people wrong when you want to see him get over the hashes in cover two. You want to see him the insert safety taking the over routes. Now, listen, his resume is tremendous, but accolades and postseason awards don't always tell the true story about who's the best. Now, to call him the second best, you know, defender in all the football outside of Aaron Donald. And, you know, it's a question if Aaron Donald is even number one at times last year because he didn't replicate what he did the year before. You know, Chris Jones was right up there. Myles Garrett, like I said, was right up there. He was a menace. Remember, he got suspended. And, you know, Stephon Gilmore was right there for Defensive Player of the Year. You know, you look at the young Bosa, you look at young Bosa. You look at the, you know.
Well, that's that's another name you would have to think of, right?
You look at T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh, who had like I think 16 sacks last year. So I think what I'm doing is when I start with defenders and when I think about positions that have the greatest impact, pass rusher, cornerback. You have to be Ed Reed, or you got to be Rod Woodson. And that's why Joe Douglas isn't flinching. You know, we've heard.
That's where I was going next. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he's not flinching. Jamal's not the best safety that he's ever been around. Joe Douglas was around Rod Woodson. Let me say that again. He was around Rod Woodson, who was dominant at cornerback, and then had a second career where he was just as dominant at safety. And then he had to go. Take, if Rod Woodson is one or two, this dude is one or two as well, depending on who you talk to and how they feeling that day. He had Ed Reed. He was there with Ozzie. He was there in Baltimore with Ed Reed. So he's not going to flinch. He's not going to be intimidated by these reports coming out and these other executives trying to farm his land. Mm-hmm. He has a way that he builds a championship program. When Harbaugh came in, Steve Bisciotti gave him 5 years. That's why Joe Douglas fought so hard for a 6 or 5 year job, because that's how long it takes to change the culture, to get your draft classes in, to nurture them, to have them mature. Because some of your first round draft picks, they're going to blossom immediately. But you don't win championships with the Jamals of the world. You win the championships with the complementary players. And those are players that's not going to give you harvest immediately. These are players that give you harvest year 3, year 4. And you look up and you got guys on your team that you're getting the Dak Prescott type of production from, that when you drafted him, you didn't expect to get it from, and it's a pleasant surprise. You can't win by just trying to buy a championship. The Dream Team taught us that, right?
Right.
And we talked about Washington. Washington showed us that when they tried to have Darryl Green, Deion Sanders, Bruce Smith, they try to get everybody. You can't buy a championship. It has to be built. It has to be cultivated. It has to be able to simmer. It's a stew that has to have a lot of different ingredients. And if you give Jamal this money right now, you're going to open up a precedent where you can't get all the ingredients you need to make this tremendous stew. You're going to have some good beef in there. Some good chuck beef, but you're going to be missing the carrots.
Gonna
it's
be the CMOS.
You're going to be missing the au jus. You're going to be missing the Worcestershire sauce. You're going to be missing some of the onions.
That's funny.
You're going to miss some biscuits that you need to suck it all up with.
Oh, yeah.
So Jamal is a great young player. The sky's the limit. But whoever said that he's the second best defensive player in the league either bumped his head, needs some milk, or needs to stay off the weed.
Well, some more comments from other executives about Jamal, who is number one on the ESPN list using a poll of NFL executives. Number one on the list of safeties for this season. Superb athlete, tough, intelligent. He's so competitive and physical. It's not like with some other players with similar styles where you won't play them from depth. You can play Jamal from depth. Another said he can cover but wants to make the big hit all the time. The scheme would matter for him. That's fair. Because I also think how much of this is what Greg Williams did with him in the second half of last season, which made him look like a superstar.
Yes.
You know, that was by need. I mean, Greg Williams basically said, I got to take my best defensive player and make him and make him my playmaker. And then another passing game coordinator said he's the type of player where you put a red jersey on the scout team guy and pretend that's Jamal during practice because you have to know where he is at all times. Now, my question here is this, 800-919-3776. It's just a list. I get it. But it's not like an arbitrary list where it's a bunch of media guys put some stats together and come up with a list. This is what they're saying around the NFL. This is what executives feel about this player. Does that change the perspective now from the Jets when you have a player who either doesn't want to be here or wants to get paid? It's one or the other. We got to figure out which one it is. Does it change the game now for the Jets?
I like where you're going with this, Alan.
Now that you see what people really do think of him as a player, how do you feel as a fan? How valuable is Jamal Adams? Is he the best center in the game? And if he is, what does that really mean? Is it that important to have the best safety in the game? Can we mention all the, by the way, Buster only tweets that the number of monitoring samples collected and tested in the past week was, if this is for Major League Baseball, obviously, it was 10,548.
What?
6 out of the 10,548 samples, which is 0.05%, have been new positives. So the past week included a 5-day period in which no new positives were reported. So 5 of the 6 positives were players, and 1 was a staff member. Those are good numbers. right? But of course, teams are staying with each other right now.
Right.
So you got to expect that once they start moving around and going from city to city, you know, that certainly could change. And by the way, the TBT, the basketball tournament, they just completed a couple of days of basketball in Columbus, Ohio. And full success. They had a champion. They had a tournament. There was no one in the building. They did all the social distancing, everything else. One team was sent home. That was it at the very beginning. Everybody else stayed clear. And it was successful. So you are seeing that it is possible. That's all that matters. It is possible.
You see, a lot of these players will be safe playing sports because it's holding them accountable. Sometimes we let our guards down when we're in our home settings. But
just
understand that you have to go to practice, understand that you are in the bubble, understanding that you have a game. You kind of isolate yourself. So actually,
understand it's a business. You have to treat it like a business, and you can't. It can't become something where you just joke about it or who cares or it's not going to happen. I mean, it's a business, and you don't want to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Do not be that.
Proceed.
All right, let's get some calls.
Caution.
800-919-3776. Mike is on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Barton Hahn, what's popping, fellas?
You tell me.
I love that energy.
Freaky Friday.
Jets, man, from rags to riches. All of a sudden, they got a top two player in the NFL. Back the truck off, fellas. Let's get rid of this guy. I mean, trade bait. I mean, this is the best thing the Jets heard all year.
Could his value ever be higher right now, Mike? Like, this is what you do. You want to make a trade. Like you let the Jaguars know, like, you know, Ngakoue, sure. I have the second best. You're giving me somebody that's not the best defensive player. I have the second best.
Yeah, I might want
something else.
I want Ngakoue and somebody else.
You might have to put a little more cheese on a taco now.
Cheese on a taco, man. Give me picks. I don't want players. Give me picks. Let's build for a future. Get rid of Gase. He's trash. Maybe Le'Veon Bell will be good someday. Who the hell knows?
We'll see about Gates, Mike. Thanks for the call. It's a big year for him.
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell walking a mile. There ain't nothing Le'Veon can do at that number that's going to say, hey, we want a guy that's getting closer and closer to 30, and we're going to hold him at that type of cap number. You know, that's what P. Ryan was all about, to try and find a poor man's guy and then being able to have a guy like Frank Gore that's a constant professional to teach him how to be a pro or how to take the baton. It reminds me of when we had Willis McGahee, and then Willis McGahee was still doing his thing, but Willis McGahee had a $40 million contract, and we went and drafted Ray Rice in the second round to kind of usher him on out to get a cheaper, more cost-efficient version of him.
And that worked out pretty good for a short term anyway. Ira's in Staten Island. Hey, Ira.
Hey, what's happening, Alan? Hey, Bart. How are you guys?
What up?
First of all, All good. First of all, the Washington thing is a disgrace. It's unfortunate. The Players Association and the league, listen, you know, shame on the league for letting it go down to the wire. I think the smart play here is pushing it back, starting the season mid to late August. This way they could get all their ducks in order. And getting to the Adams thing, you brought it up. Listen, you know, the number two defensive player in the league, no, I'm sorry, no disrespect to Jamal, but you know, he's in the top 10. But I agree with you. He's not even a top safety. I would take Minkah any day. Matter of fact, if Marcus May, we've discussed it a million times, if Marcus May could stay healthy, he's more versatile than Adams is. But with that said, John Abraham and Darrell Revis were the last two players that you really had a game plan against. Jamal is one. But the bottom line here is, except for the Giant game last year, does he really wreck a game? No. And that's why Douglas will probably do the right thing with Adams. But one thing interesting, you know, with all these contracts with Chris Jones and Mahomes and whoever else I'm missing out here, Jamal's been quiet lately. So even though I think the Jets are going to wait it out, but I think they are talking at this point, because
he's got to learn. Also, he's not helping his cause if he's just going to keep, you know, if he's going to keep complaining. There'll be teams that say, I don't want to bring in a guy like this. He never seems happy.
Noise. And they may have gave him the permission to go out and try and seek a trade as well. I mean, because if you're talking about what your value is, and now we have executives saying that's what they believe your value is, now they just set the market. I need what they got for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I need a first and I need a third, or I need a player.
Ira?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I thought you had a point.
No. I agree with you 100%. The only thing is now, I think with everything that's going on between the union and the players, if they drop the salary cap, you know, who's going to invest the money that Jamal wants as a safety? Nobody. So I think, you know what?
I think the question, Ira, is what is the value of having the best safety, even if he was the best safety in the game, what right. is the value of having the best safety in the game when your team has other holes that it needs to fill? So I got to pay you in accordance to being the best player at your position. That's what you want. But our roster isn't anywhere that will allow us then to be a winning team.
You know, the perfect
So that's the decision you've got to make, is what's it worth to you? And I always say this. I always bring it back to this. What is your impact on business? Do you help us win?
Yeah.
Can I sell? Are you a marketable player? Like I said this about Dak yesterday. It's the same damn thing. What is your impact on my business? Because that's when I'll pay you, when you're doing it all for me.
I guess what we're asking, what's Jamal's war, right? If we're going to use a baseball term.
Yeah, okay.
How does he equate to wins? Now, when you talk about Dak Prescott.
Is there an analytic for something along that lines in football? Wins above replacement?
It's not. But for me, what Jamal, where he falls short at, is his ability to turn the ball over. Right, so like that's why defensive ends are so valuable.
Yes,
because not only can they stop you from your quarterback from being efficient and make it tough and make him skittish in the pocket, a lot of those sacks turn into fumbles, forced fumbles, right? Or they turn to long down and distance, which turns to predictable passing downs. So when I look at Jamal is great, but he's only got maybe I think 3 career interceptions in his entire career. When I look at a guy like Micah Fitzpatrick, he had 5 just last year. Right, and that's what I'm talking about. Can you flip the field? Can you set our offense up in scoring position? I know Jamal had the great play where he took the ball away from Saquon and scored, and then he had the one where Stidham kind of threw him a lollipop and he had scored there. But I'm looking at guys that can give me possessions. And a guy like Micah Fitzpatrick gives you possessions. I mean, it's hard to say that Jamal's number one, because I can give you a list of a lot of different safeties that you would say, huh? Well, to me, they're interchangeable. If I would say, hey, would you rather have Jamal or Tyrann Mathews? You'd probably say, hey, I don't know. You know, if you said, hey, I'll give you Anthony
Harris. I'd rather have the guy that doesn't cost me nearly as much. I'd rather have the guy that wants to be here and is not going to become that voice of dissension in the locker room. That's not the culture I'm trying to build here, because this is the Jets. We all understand the Jets have had that issue many times in their past, many times. It's not easy to clear that out of a locker room, and all it takes is one guy to be that voice of dissension that reporters are going to leech onto. Several of them are already doing it. I should say one of them in particular is already doing it and creating the distractions and that circus atmosphere that you're trying to get away from. Those guys, I can't have them in my locker room when I'm trying to rebuild a culture.
And I tell you what, man, one name, and listen, like, I like to be the guy that knows people kind of like before they blow up. And I talk about Marcus Maye, but it's a kid out there named Justin Simmons for the Denver Broncos, kid special. And he's going to be a guy that Jamal is going to be fighting with as far as the number one safety as well. And guys, just keep an eye on him, because he can become a household name. You know, a lot of times, I remember I was that guy, right? Before, I was the guy in Baltimore that was playing underneath Ray, and I was just playing and going about my thing. It took like maybe 3 or 4 years for people to take notice. This kid is putting in that same type of work out there in Denver, and with the weapons that they have on the other side now and what they've done in free agency, he's a guy that's going to be calling. So this is what Jamal has to understand too, and I learned this the hard way.
800-919-3776 is there. Let's grab one more. Alex in North Carolina. Alex.
Hey, guys. I have a big question for you guys.
All right.
I love the show. I listen to you all the time. And I wanted to ask, who do you think is a better player, Gleyber Torres or Aaron Judge?
Interesting question.
You already know where I'm at with this. I've been said this a long time ago. I think Gleyber Torres is the most talented person on that team, and I think he's the face of the Yankees.
Like all-around talent?
Yes. I think potentially he's a better hitter. I think he can hit for just as much power, maybe not more, but he can hit for power as well. I mean, you look at
consistent
what he is.
Consistent power.
Yeah, you think about defensively what he's able to do, his ability to play shortstop, his ability to play second base as well. He's proven that he can do that effectively. And because I think he's going to have more availability and more durability than Aaron Judge. And I think slowly but surely he's the future and judges the present.
Strong. I'm still trying to process that in my head. When you think about what Glaber can be defensively at shortstop, back at his normal natural position,
yes,
but it's still an adjustment back to the longer throw. I asked Meredith this yesterday. He has a chance in a short season to potentially be an MVP candidate.
Yes,
he really does. If he's ready to go, and he's a guy that, you know, again, Judge, you worry about staying healthy, but I'm telling you, this kid, both defensively and at the plate, he has a chance to, and he's very young, but he has a chance to be an MVP candidate. Time for some time for some action. Now, this is a sample. Let's get ready to run. What's the sample from that?
I don't know, man.
That time for some action. Is that Black Sheep? Is it? Isn't it that dude, right?
I think
the time for some action part, I'm saying. They sampled that from Black. Isn't that from Black Sheep? I don't know. No. Cypress Hill. That's from Cypress Hill. Okay. That's who that is. That's not Black Sheep. That's Cypress Hill.
If y'all know, let us know. You know, yeah. We just started doing, because we kind of got away Cypress from Hill. It.
I just sounded like, what did I just do? I just did a Rain Man. This is definitely Cypress Hill. Definitely Cypress Hill. Anyways.
Charlie Babbitt's my brother.
Charlie Babbitt.
What we should do, like maybe like when we get live sports,
yeah,
like the versus stuff where they're showing appreciation, and I think that some of the younger kids are starting to learn how good some of these artists were in their catalog and who they helped and who they sampled and who spawned off of their group.
Right.
Whether it's like Goody Mob or whether it's Outkast and people, or whether it's Busta Rhymes. We should do our own like appreciation to MCs on our music and kind of tell the story of how hip-hop became the biggest influence, I believe, in marketing altogether. Because everything, I don't care if you listen to McDonald's, they're selling you burgers with hip-hop.
I still say, I've been saying this since I was Han Solo at night. I do believe there is a place for a sports and hip-hop, sports and music podcast.
Yeah.
That where you get musicians and artists in who love to talk sports, and then you get athletes who want to talk music.
Yeah. Look at Quavo. Quavo thinks he's a real bad. He thinks he's a semi-pro basketball player.
I love that.
So does Common.
I know, but I love that. Like, I actually, but you always find that it's like it's harder for an athlete to talk about himself or his sport. He's afraid of what he's going to say. But once you get him into something else, like he'll say anything. And it's just like artists are the same way.
We should get J. Cole on because he was a great basketball player. He can talk hoops with you. He was
all
a
that stuff.
He was a
I'm
baller.
Telling you, I would love to do that podcast if ESPN would let us do it. I would love to do that. And then we'd be able to use music and all that stuff. So we'll see. Maybe one day my dream will happen. Spartan Hound presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at Progressive.com. Also a reminder, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. All right, Bart, you ready to fight? We got some topics today.
I'm ready.
Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
As we mentioned at the top, Alex Rodriguez among bidders again to buy the Mets. So he was on a conference call promoting ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And he said that the rise of the NFL and NBA has changed everything for baseball, saying that the Players Association for Baseball has to work with MLB to help the sport raise its presence in the market. And this is the quote. The only way it's going to happen is if they get to the table and say the number one goal, let's get from 10 to 15 billion, and then we'll split the economics evenly.
Mm.
What does that sound like? Tony Clark, the baseball union leader, had a statement. Alex has benefited as much as anybody from the battles this union has fought against owners' repeated attempts to get a salary cap. Now that he's attempting to become an owner himself, his perspective appears to be different, and that perspective does not reflect the best interests of the players. Alex put out a tweet saying, I never said salary cap. However, I never said that. But I've covered enough CBA collective bargaining to know that when you talk about a defined split of revenue, that's suggesting salary caps. So, Blitz of Prevent, does this mean that A-Rod is suggesting he might be a frugal owner?
I think I'm going to blitz that, of course. And do I ever prevent much? No. It has to be absurd.
You're always blitzing.
It has to be absurd for me to prevent. But it's funny how, you know, we see players and we see Derek Jeter. You know, when would Derek Jeter ever thought if he became an owner and or if he was on the Yankees and they got rid of their three top players? Well, that's what he did as soon as he got there. Good shed point. As much salary as he could. Got rid of Stan, got rid of Yelich, got rid of Castro, got rid of everybody. And now it's funny how when the shoe's on the other foot, how some of these former players all of a sudden want to do what's good
when
for the
business.
When it
becomes a business.
Not
yes.
good for the team.
Yes.
And like, I do not want an owner that's thinking business first. What I want a fanboy. I want somebody that never played this sport that's not going to try and micromanage, that's going to hire, that got deep pockets, and that's going to hire baseball.
You better wrap it up.
Baseball lifers. I don't want somebody that's trying to sell craft on building around so that he can say he bringing his plan with the organization is to bring more revenue and more jobs. You know what I want? I want more championships. And for that, I need some money to go out and get me Mookie Betts. I need some money to go get Arenado. I don't want to hear that. I want Syndergaard locked up while he's probably going to take $100 million because it's going to be cheap because he's injured. That's what I want. I don't want me no A-Rod, and I don't want Jenny from the block. Jenny can take her block back to Miami.
You want Steve Cohen. Deepest pockets in the game. That's what you want. All right. The Knicks are seemingly zeroing in on hiring Tom Thibodeau as their next head coach, possibly as early as next week. An interesting name has emerged as a candidate for the Nets job once the season ends for them. Jacques Vaughn is the interim coach for the restart, but there are whispers that Kevin Durant favors Mark Jackson, who is from Brooklyn. Remember, Brooklyn. Mark Jackson coached Golden State, has a strong relationship with Steph Curry, who might have told KD some insight as to Jackson as a coach. So Blitz or Prevent, we're all for this. Not just to see Jackson get another shot, but because it puts even more sizzle into the Knicks-Nets rivalry.
I'm 100,000% excited because Mark Jackson on the opposite side of the job that we thought he could do or that he would be perfect for, and for him to get the job across town from another team that which he doesn't have blood in the sand, in the soil with, would be amazing. You talk about that narrative. You talk about that competitive rivalry. And the fact that you also have another inner rivalry because we heard that Kyrie likes Thibodeau. So who's going to win out? Who's the real alpha dog? Is it Kyrie that put this thing together? Or is it Kevin Durant that put this thing together? Because, you know, Kevin Durant, if you had to pick between one or two, you taking the unicorn, the original unicorn, as great as Kyrie is. He put this thing together, and if it wasn't for his Achilles, he would have been telling Kyrie, then let's come on to the Knicks.
Interesting stuff to keep an eye on, that's for sure. All right.
When did the season start?
Have you heard of Hype Hits? You heard about this?
No, I have not.
It's a new music brand from ESPN, and it represents the best of music and sports. Mm. So Hype Hits, they're saying in the statement, is songs playing in the stadiums, locker rooms, buses, and on those headphones you see on athletes getting ready for competition.
Gotcha.
So it's a diverse collection of artists and genres and eras and everything like that. And I'll just tell you that it's available right now on Spotify, Apple, and Pandora. That is not a commercial that I was asked to read. I'm actually curious about this because I love music. They have all different types of playlists. Hall of Fame, Takeover, Best of Pop, Best of Hip Hop, Best of Rock, Best of Country, Best of Dance, Best of Latin. All of it, right? So, Blitz or Prevent.
They better have Phil Collins. They better have Phil Collins.
Oh, you know that song's on there. Speaking of which, Blitz or Prevent, you once owned Jock Jams. The CD.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cutting our dough.
Not even Napster, but I've downloaded. That, if I was still in Jock Jams.
It was so awful. Jock Jams was awful.
Every dude,
by the way, bought that damn thing and played it in every high school gym and every college in the country. And you're like, that's the same. Everybody heard Cotton Eye Joe. Everybody. Like, what were all the songs off Jock Jams? All the same.
Yep. Whoop That Is.
Oh, that was definitely on it.
Bust a Move. Young MC.
It was so terrible.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.